For many of us, New Year's Day is January the 1st. That is when the calendar or Gregorian calendar starts over and we start a new year. However, in many cultures, like China, the new year follows the lunar calendar. So the new year does not begin on January the 1st, but sometimes around the end of January to the beginning of February. Chinese New Year is also known as the Spring Festival. Like many of traditional Chinese holidays, it has a story to go along with. It's a pretty amazing story and has some striking similarities to another story, which I shall tell you shortly. Now, there are a variety of versions of this story, but this is how it basically goes. And I see a book written by Andrea Wang, and the title is called The Nian Monster. Of course, it is obviously a story, a myth. But the story goes like this. Every year, an evil monster named Nian, who lived in the mountains, who would descend upon a village. It would cause all kinds of pain, especially by eating children. The villagers were always terrified of the monster, but did not know what to do. One day, an old man, who turned out was a little god, told the villagers how to protect their children. He said to take red and hang it on the doorways. This would protect all those inside. Now, traditionally, Chinese people place red cherry wooden and lanterns on the door frames or doorpost. Afterward, people stick the duilian or spring couplets, a set of red paper written in auspicious words on the doorframe or doorpost. Coincidentally, on the night of the Passover, the ancient Israelites were also commanded to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost on the night of the Passover. By the way, color of the blood of the lamb is also red. In case you don't know, the color of the blood is red. Now let us throw in a few more details. Now I'm not trying to justify celebration of Chinese New Year based on the account in Exodus 12. I'm just making an illustration and try to tell you some interesting similarities between the two. So don't be mistaken of my argument. So let us throw in a few more details. The first month of the year in the Jewish calendar is Nisan, not the Japanese car brand Nisan, N-I-S-A-N. This was started in Exodus 12 with Passover. The Jewish calendar, the Chinese calendar, like the Jewish calendar, is also lunar. Now, don't ask me the details, what is lunar calendar or how it works. I really don't know. But I can give you an explanation taken out from a reference book. A lunar calendar is a calendar based upon the monthly cycles of the moon's phases. In contrast to solar calendars, whose annual cycles are based only directly upon the solar year. If you know what that is, that's all I can say and explain. So please don't ask me after the message how lunar calendar works. The important thing to know is that Jewish and Chinese calendar were both lunar calendar. All right? So that's number one thing that is in common between the two. Number two. On Passover, the lamb was killed. blood was placed on the doorpost, and the Israelites had a meal from the lamb they had killed while they waited for the angel of the Lord to pass over them. And you know the story. We read the story, a lengthy passage from Exodus 12. The family gathers together the night as a whole family around the Passover dinner. As for Chinese New Year, we have what we call a reunion dinner that we eat on New Year's Eve. All the family members are gathered together to have dinner together. Likewise, traditionally, with all the doors and windows shut, probably to prevent the monster nians from barging in to eat the children. The Hebrew word for Passover is made up of two words. Number one word is Pesach, and the one is Al, and is how our word Paschal is derived from. The former means Pesach, means to hop, or to lip, or to skip over. The latter means over. Therefore, the word Passover, Pesach, Al. When the Chinese celebrate their New Year, they say, 过年. It typically means overcome nian, or literally means pass over nian. You also make us wonder why the Chinese people say 拜年, which literally means pay homage to nian, or to worship nian. If nian is simply inanimate object, year. So the myth, the Chinese myth, mythological story about the Chinese New Year may have some truth in it. Here's a chart comparison of similarities between Chinese New Year and Jewish Passover. It is pretty amazing when you read these traditions and those stories from other cultures and how they mirror stories from the Bible, though not perfectly. So if you look at the chart, on the left-hand side, during Chinese New Year, you're supposed to have a thorough house cleaning or spring cleaning. And the Jewish, when they celebrate the Passover, they are supposed to remove the leaven from the house. On the left-hand side, during Chinese New Year, Chinese are supposed to decorate the door post in red with spring couplet, with the duilian or spring couplets. And the Jewish people will put lamb's blood on the sides and top of the doorpost. On the left, all family members eat dinner at home, a reunion dinner. The Jewish people at Passover gather together to eat the Passover lamb. For Chinese people, they're not supposed to have any leftover, traditionally. And on the right hand side, Jewish people take none of the meat outside of the house. On the left, children asking for the red packets or envelopes, or red envelopes of money from parents or elderly people. And look what the Israelites did. They gathered silvers and gold and clothes from the Egyptians. Now these are amazing similarities. Again, I'm not trying to make a connection between Chinese New Year and Jewish Passover, but I do want to make a connection between the Jewish Passover and the Jesus of the New Testament. So let us back up a bit and talk about what happens at the first Passover almost 3,000 years ago. Now it began with a group of people called Israelites, who had been enslaved by an Egyptian pharaoh for 430 years. In some places, for 400 years. The Israelites called on their God for deliverance, and he heard their cry. So God sent Moses to be their deliverer, but Pharaoh refused to let the people go. So God sent 10 plagues into the land of Egypt. The first, water turned to blood, and then plague of frogs, and plague of lice, and plague of flies, and then murrain or some epidemic pestilences, and then boils, hails, locusts. Number nine, darkness. So Moses kept saying, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh kept saying, "No, I'm not going to let your people go. Stay here and serve me." Eventually, God judged the Egyptians through the 10th plague, the final plague, the slaying of the Egyptian firstborn. God told Moses that around midnight, every firstborn male in Egypt would die. Well, actually includes the firstborn of the cattle and the beast. Yet God would spare his people who believed in him. Now they have to believe. They must act. They must put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. I believe if they didn't, if any household didn't do that, their firstborn son would be slain as well, even if they were from the household of Israel. So they were to slaughter a lamb and put its blood on the doorpost. The blood on the doorpost would be distinguishing mark. When God saw the blood, he said he will pass over the house. This is why we got all festival Passover from. Now you may still be wondering, what does this have anything to do with Jesus of the New Testament? Well, you asked the right question. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So Christ was the ultimate Passover lamb, which was sacrificed some 2,000 years ago. Dear friends, in the short time we have today, I would like to share with you some seven parallels between the Passover lamb back in Moses' day and the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope at the end of the message, God will move you to receive his Son as your Lord and Savior. Firstly, a lamb was selected. Verse 3 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb." So every household should select a lamb, every man a lamb. It was God's divine appointment and plan that each Israelite household to take or to choose a lamb for the specific purpose of sacrifice. The lamb mentioned in Exodus 12 typified or foreshadowed the means of salvation through Jesus, the Messiah, who was identified as the Lamb of God. Just as it was God's divine appointment and plan that each Israelite household to take or to choose a lamb from the specific purpose of the sacrifice, Jesus was selected or elected or chosen to be the ultimate Passover lamb. In fact, at Jesus' baptism, John the Baptist identified Jesus by saying, I read from verse 29 of John 1, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." So he is indeed the Lamb of God. That is, Jesus would be the ultimate sacrificial lamb, whose death on the cross will atone for the sin of the world. Thus, Messiah, or Christ, was elected by God to provide salvation for mankind. Secondly, the lamb was to be a spotless young male. with regard to sacrificial lamb, God instructs in Exodus 12:5, He says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." The Passover lamb was without blemish or flawless. Why? Why so particular? Why should we bring a lamb which was flawless and perfect? Because he served as a perfect type of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God. As man, he never sinned. He lived a perfect life and perfectly righteous life. Had Jesus been flawed or imperfect, he would have been unqualified to become a sacrifice for sin. But he was perfect. He was blameless. He was without blemish or flawless. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "He, Jesus, who knew no sin." And the Apostle Peter also says, "Jesus, he who did no sin." He did no sin as well. The Apostle John also said, "In him there is no sin." So, confirmation after confirmation after confirmation, he was perfect. The Apostle Peter revealed that Messiah was a lamb without blemish and without spot. Peter says, "A lamb without blemish and without spot." Therefore, my friends, whosoever receives Jesus the Messiah as the Messiah by faith in his substitutionary death on the cross and repents of his sins receives eternal redemption. You can take it to the bank. That is the promise from the Bible. Thirdly, the lamb was scrutinized for 4 days. Well, according to Exodus 12, verse 3 and 6, the lamb was picked on the 10th day and kept until the 14th day to make sure that it was not blemished without being sacrificed, also blemished before being sacrificed. So there needs to be a period of quality control check, or the lamb needs to be tested before it is sacrificed, checking whether the lamb is perfect or not. Well, similarly, Jesus Christ was also tested, first for 40 days and later for 3.5 years. Firstly, he was tested by Satan for 40 days in the wilderness, and he overcame temptations of Satan. And then later on, he was also tested for 3.5 years during his ministries. He was tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. When Jesus got baptized by John the Baptist, his Father in heaven gave his approval when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Not only that, he continued being tested throughout his ministry for 3.5 years. As I said, he was tempted in every way as we were, yet without sin. Fourthly, the lamb was to be sacrificed. Now, according to Exodus 12, verses 6 and 7, on the 14th day, each household sacrificed their lamb at twilight, collected its blood, and applied to their doorpost or to their house door. Similarly, Jesus Christ was sacrificed and his blood spilled for the sins of mankind. Again, the Apostle Paul made this very clear when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 5:7, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Now, why blood? Why did Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to redeem us, because the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And the author of Hebrews says, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin or no forgiveness of sins. Christ's death was not accidental, nor were the circumstances related to it out of his control, but thoroughly in God's eternal plan to save sinners like us. He died not because of his own sin, for he has no sin. He died because of our sin. The Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ was obedient to his Father in all things, to the point of death, voluntarily giving up his life on the cross to be our sacrifice. Dear friends, all men are born to live, but Jesus Christ came for the purpose of dying, so men might experience salvation and eternal life. Fifthly, the lamb was to be a substitute for each Israelite. Exodus 12:26-27, I read, and it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this sacrifice or service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. So God planned that the lamb's shed blood was to protect each house from physical death when he passed through the land of Egypt in judgment. However, God's people Israel would learn a slain lamb's blood also provided a spiritual covering from the bondage and penalty of sin as revealed in the sacrificial system. In other words, animal sacrifices only cover sin, but never remove sin. Jesus Christ came to earth to die and became our substitute, the ultimate sacrifice, and took upon himself the righteous judgment of God for our sin. Through the death of Christ and the blood sacrifice that he has offered on the cross at Calvary, he provided us the means in which we can be justified and reconciled before God. Therefore, dear friends, anyone who receives Jesus the Messiah as Savior by faith in his substitutionary death on the cross and repent of his sins receives eternal life, because Jesus has already offered himself on the altar of cross as in burnt offerings for your sin and my sin once for all, and the sacrifice need not be repeated. He took our place. He died in our place so that you may have eternal life in him. Sixthly, blood from the sacrificial lamb was to be sprinkled or applied to the door of each house. And we mentioned that just now, briefly. I shall mention it again. Exodus 12:7, they shall take up the blood and strike it on two sides of the post, on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Both Chinese New Year and Jewish Passover have some similar practice. I don't know how Chinese people derive that from. It may well, it may not well, may not be derived from the Jewish Passovers. I don't know. I'm not trying to make a case here, but you make the judgment. Both apply a red on the doorpost. As for the Jews, they apply lamb's blood. But what does it mean? It actually foreshadows the provision of Jesus' substitutionary death and his shed blood for the sins of men. Here you see an artist's renditions of the Passover lamb's blood being applied on the doorpost or on the door, and you see a cross there. Of course, that was probably not actually what they did on the night of Passover, but it does illustrate to us the connection between the blood of the Passover lamb and the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross. Seventhly, and lastly, the blood of the Passover lamb sheltered or protected the household from physical death when God passed over to destroy the firstborn. Now we have talked about the lamb, we have talked about the sacrifice and the blood, and all they do is to protect Israelites' firstborn from being slain by God. According to Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, Moses wrote, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye were, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now the word Passover again came from this verse. Israel was delivered from death by the blood of the lamb. The Hebrew word is, as I say, is pasach, and I mentioned that it means hop, or to skip over, or to leap. Likewise, dear friends, the shed blood of Jesus Christ applied to the individual's life is efficacious to provide salvation and deliverance from eternal judgment of damnation to all that believe in Him. Now, my friends, whether you are celebrating Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year this week, if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I urge you to do so. I urge you to receive Him today. And you may be wondering how. How should I receive salvation from God? Now, well, simply made this prayer to God. If you are not yet a believer, you may pray this prayer right now. Let us close our eyes as we pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, I confess and see that I have sinned against you. I confess my sin of unbelief and now ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross, and through this blood sacrifice, you will forgive my sins. I now receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and accept the peace you have provided through Him. Thank you for taking away my sin through Jesus' shed blood, and give me your peace through forgiveness of my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.